What's up, y'all? This is Rommel Watley, and welcome to Truckin' Hustle, the podcast for trucking entrepreneurs. If you want to learn about the trucking industry from the business side of things, you're in the right place. Every week, I interview the people who are making it happen on a daily basis. I get them to share their successes, their failures, and sometimes even their secrets. The goal is to show you how you too can create financial freedom in the booming trucking industry. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. All right, we're going to keep this thing going. Right now, we're going to bring another amazing panel to the stage. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to learn. Get ready to be amazed. I'm going to bring to the stage Hope White for the Intermodal Drayage Heavy Haul Specialty Freight Panel. Let's get into it. You don't need this. You're good. You're good. You mic'd up. Yeah, you're
good. Hey, everybody. How you doing? Welcome to Freight Fest 23. I want to first thank our gracious hosts, Rommel Watley and Krishanda Watley, for putting on this awesome, awesome event. Everybody give them a round of applause for that. Without them, many small businesses like myself wouldn't have a platform to show our services to the world. And so we're so grateful for you all for taking this reach and stepping out here for us. But without further ado, I want to bring up two awesome ladies who are also in this space of drayage. Mrs. Jessica King. Ready? Yeah, ready. Let's do it. And then also Mrs. Bianca Calanche. All right, let's have a seat. Let's talk about it. All right. So if a few of you all don't know me, I am Hope White, the CEO and founder of HD Drayage and Container Services out of Metairie, Georgia. We have about 10 and a half acres of land that we do container storage, started off doing it, and we're asset base of 12 trucks and about 22 staff. We do drayage, which is the short distance transport of containerized cargo in the Savannah, Charleston, and Jacksonville market. But these awesome ladies, I want to start with them letting you tell you who they are, because a lot of you all know who I am, but let's give them an opportunity to just tell who they are, because they're just awesome as well. So Jessica.
Hey everyone, I'm Jessica King. I am a third generation business owner with a specialized trucking company here in Houston, Texas. We started our business in the intermodal sector back in 1969. It was founded by my grandparents. And we do all kinds of things. Intermodal is where we got our start. So it's definitely a passion and a love. Yeah. And it's a great business to be in.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Bianca?
Hi, everybody. Hope nobody's falling asleep yet. My name is Bianca Calanche. I'm the owner of Jaspin Truckline, and we specialize in intermodal as well. We started back in 2014. So we've been in business for about 8.5, almost 9 years now. And we specialize in drayage off of the Long Beach and Los Angeles ports, so the West Coast of things, and as well as warehouse and warehouse distribution.
Yeah, cool. So last year, right, 2020, all right, pandemic happened. Everything blew up. Containers everywhere, ships everywhere, everything's backing up. Everybody comes into dray, right?
Right.
Everybody wants to do dray. All right, so let's talk about what challenges, and I'll let Jessica go first, that you have seen since 2022 to now in 2023. Have you seen a decrease in your market with dray?
Absolutely. So 2020, the pandemic happened, and it was, I think, average rates to get containerized freight into the port was anywhere between 800 to 1,000, just as an example. Yeah. You take 2020, and it became $15,000, $20,000. So it just blew up, and people had an immediate need to get freight into all markets, whether yes. it's Georgia or California, Houston. You take that, we were busy, we were popping. It was like, we could not keep up. We got awarded a couple of projects and it just really kept us busy. Thank God, right. because it was a really bad time. Last year, things held steady. Mm-hmm. I mean, the rates weren't as high as they were, but 2022 was a good year. And now today, it is, I use the word bonkers. Like, rates are dropping. It's just very, very difficult. If you look at, you study the port volumes and things like that, imports and exports, Imports are down about 3% in the Houston market, and exports are down about 4%.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a challenging market. If you take what the actual port is doing, the port statistics, and you relate that to our business, I'm probably putting a little bit too much of our business out there, but our load counts are down between 900 for imports, 900 loads year to date, and 800 for exports. Mm. So, I mean, it's been a very dramatic effect for
us. Absolutely. Bianca?
I have to agree with Jessica. So, yeah, 2020 to 2021, I think maybe up until quarter three of 2022, we definitely had a huge increase of opportunity, mm-hmm. right? But looking back 2022, three, four, and then all of 2023, it's been a down market, a freight recession. As much as I don't like to use that term, it is what it is, because when you were charging, as an example, $600 to, a 25 mile round trip, now it's gotten cut down to at least 50%, if not more. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if 2020 to 2022 was a carrier market, it's now definitely flipped to a shipper's market. And I get it, it's business. Carriers took advantage of that and made as much bank as we could. And now the shippers have to, do what they have to do to stay in business as well with the overflow of inventory. So it's definitely been challenging, 2022 and 2023, but I feel like as long as you have the grit to continue on, it doesn't matter what position you're in, as long as your moves are made for your future of your company to stay afloat, you can manage that. It's manageable if you made the right moves in when things were booming. So now when things aren't, you have a protective source to continue on.
Absolutely, absolutely. So in our market, Savannah market, we've also seen a trend down in volume. Last year, this time, and numbers aren't in for August yet, but July of 2022, we were at about 580,000 imports. Imports in, total empty and full. Now we're at about 430,000, right? So there's like a 15% drop there in volume. The hardest hit month for us in that market was probably in April. We seen a 22% drop in volume, and it's kind of trending and stayed stagnant right now. There is a benefit for us being on the East Coast though, because a lot of the freight is transitioning from the West Coast to the East Coast, just because customers can get those units in stock faster, right? So that's been one of the beneficial things for us. But Jessica and Bianca, and I'll start with Bianca first, what are some of the weaknesses you've seen since the volume has dropped? And we've had a little bit more time to focus on our businesses and some of our strategies and plan. What are some of the weaknesses that you've seen in your drayage business that you can improve upon now while we have time to, we're not like hustling every day to move freight?
I think on my side, it's a little bit different than the East Coast. We operate in California, a very state that pushes a lot of laws that are now into place. During the pandemic, we knew of a lot of things that were coming, basically just to name a few, the electric vehicle outcome that has come in through California, laws like AB 5 law that requires you to move from 1099 operations to W-2 operations and an employment base. And for 2023, because all those laws came into place, we really had to sit down and think about where our future in drayage on the West Coast is, and how we're going to be able to apply all the laws that are coming towards us without enough time for us to adapt to change. So not only are we dealing with the freight market being down, but we're also dealing with all these changes that we have to abide for, because if we want to continue operating in California, that's what we have to do. Yeah. There's no way around it. So I think for 2023, the weak spots we're really not so much in operations, not so much in what type of technology we're going to use for our TMS system, our warehousing WMS system, but all these regulations and how we're going to prepare ourselves financially to oversee, because an electric vehicle, it does not cost the same as a diesel vehicle. And the infrastructure that California does not have, it's scary, mm-hmm. because we have a deadline of December 31st. Mm-hmm. That's the last day that we're able to register our diesel trucks in order to go into the port. And if you don't have, let's say you just started off with 5 trucks in California and you want to grow in 2024, California just made that very, very difficult. Wow. You know what I mean? And unless you buy a used truck that has been grandfathered in, you have an option. But other than that, to go and lease new trucks or whatever infrastructure you're building for your own business just got a lot difficult.
Right.
So to answer that, I feel that we had to look for ways to continue running our business, knowing that not only the freight market is down, but now we have to increase our costs.
Right. For sure.
And with that, because of everything we made in 2021 and 2022, we were able to basically save all our profits, mm-hmm. and put that into a business plan where we're like, okay, we're not gonna buy any electric trucks 2023. We don't wanna be the guinea pigs of it. Mm-hmm. But what we ended up doing is we ended up leasing about 25 diesel trucks that are mm-hmm. coming in to us by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So we have that growth pattern that we've been having every year.
Awesome. Okay.
And so we've had to find solutions and loopholes to continue, operating as we are and still being able to give our clients
the solutions
that they're looking for.
For sure. Jessica, your
weaknesses
turn.
Somebody told me once to never talk about your weaknesses, but I'm going to give it to you.
Well, let's give it as a positive, positive.
So intermodal is challenging. Yeah. It is a very challenging industry for anybody coming into the market and asking me if they should do containerized freight. What are the challenges? There's a slew of them.
Yeah.
I think that our biggest challenge has been the volumes and understanding, okay, if you are heavy in the oil and gas market, okay, what other markets are hitting Houston? Yeah. And getting creative with that and understanding what other regulations are coming down. Now we have this whole overweight permit situation going on in the Port of Houston and how you tap into those markets. Yes. So you have the issue of, okay, what markets are you servicing?
Yeah.
That becomes a weakness, because if you're only servicing one and it falls off, okay, where are you gonna go next? And then the drivers.
Yes.
We're in it for the drivers. The drivers, if the drivers' wheels are not turning, if they are not making money, we are not in business.
Absolutely.
So what do you do to serve them mm-hmm. in times where markets change?
Yeah.
And so we were really heavily involved in the oil and gas market, imports and exports. There were some fluctuations with that. So it was, okay, what other businesses can we get in to make sure our drivers are taken care of? And we've seen that there is a huge uptick in resin in the Houston market. So if there's any Houston carriers in here and you're not looking at resin, you should be.
So you've switched to a different commodity to be able to keep your trucks turning.
And we're not fully in it. We are learning on the fly. We are learning on the go, but we are trying to make sure that driver retention is so important. So
absolutely.
Trying to meld to that to make sure we keep our drivers and keep them making money.
Absolutely. Let's segue into that, which is our opportunities in Dre. So dray freight, most people think of just like retail freight, solar power mm-hmm. panels, fuel, sugar, refined products, wood products. There are several different processes there or commodities there that you can haul in dray. So opportunity wise, what we've learned at HD Dredge is that there was still a need there for heavy industrial equipment. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we're now segueing into storing heavy industrial equipment, as well as hauling heavy industrial equipment, something we never really considered. But as you stated, when our bread and butter, which is retail, kind of took a tank there, we had to pivot mm-hmm. there. So opportunity-wise, what have you seen in the dray market? And I can just speak from that first, right? One thing beneficial about Dre is that it never stops. It's always going to keep going. It is the first mile of transportation, right? It's always going to keep going. But what happened is the perception was everybody's going to get $3, $4, $5 a mile. No, Dre has never been that. In my market particularly, right? And I'm probably going to cuss a little bit right here, right? In my market particularly, Dre rates were $1.85, $2 a mile pre-COVID, right? Pre-pandemic, right? So what we're going back to is what Dre was originally supposed to be. It moves in an exponential amount of volume. So we can't, companies can't afford to pay you $3, $4, $5 a mile for millions of loads moving a year. That just doesn't make sense. So it's very important that companies understand their cost to do business, which was said, and this has been echoed a couple different times. You'll find out that you probably can't operate your truck at $2 a mile, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're not doing your numbers, you don't know that. So one of the opportunities for us is that Dre has consistently kept moving, right? And because so many other companies don't know their numbers, now there's new RFPs available and more bidding happening where we're picking up new customers. What about you all? Opportunities?
Opportunities, I think what you stated, you know, the different markets, heavy equipment, which I talked about a little bit. I think the other opportunity is understanding what the equipment needs are. Yeah. Like we deal in intermodal, you deal with chassis pools.
Yeah.
And Steve Schimpf Lines who control the chassis. And what we've done to set ourselves aside from our competition is we have a huge pool of chassis.
Yeah.
So we're not heavily dependent on
pool chassis.
Yes, pool yeah. chassis, because that can be
which is shit.
Yeah, I was going to use a bad word, but you did it for me, so okay. Thanks. Yeah, I think that, and then that becomes, okay, if you have your own pool of chassis or whatever it is, you can better control your costs, so that's mm-hmm. an opportunity. You can better control the type of freight that you're getting and what other opportunities you have available to you with other customers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'd have to agree with both of them and add to
All right, guys, Truck and Hustle has now partnered with Transpo CFO, powered by Venning. Transpo CFO offers a streamlined monthly subscription for businesses to consolidate their accounting, payroll, and tax needs into one flat monthly rate, saving businesses a tremendous amount of time and money while making their financial operations much smoother for the long road ahead. Check out Transpo CFO in the description below and tell them Truck and Hustle sent you. Now let's get back to the show.
When opportunities are presented, I feel like there's a lot of subjects that aren't talked about in drayage, mm-hmm. chassis,
yes.
bids, how much does it really cost? And yeah. I think that in order for you to even bring opportunities to the table, you have to know your expenses.
Yeah.
For example, the whole chassis pool situation and adding to the chassis pool that happens at the port, those chassis are not good.
Come on.
If you're running OTR, over the road drayage, meaning in my case, we run next door to Nevada, Arizona, all up North California, San Diego area. If I get a popped tire on the road, it's going to cost me roughly between $400 to $600 to replace it.
Yes.
So rather than wanting to look for opportunity, I feel like if you can get all your ducks in a row in terms of solutions of for example the pop tire, have your drivers carry a tire. It costs mm-hmm. you know less than having to buy a new tire or even a used tire on the road, mm-hmm. And having the driver sit there for the whole night waiting for it to be morning so they can go and do that. So I feel like in terms of opportunity, the only advice I can give is do not put your eggs in one basket.
Mm.
Make sure that you have several clients, even if it's in the same, if it's the same commodity that you're hauling, if it's retail, make sure in the retail market you have 20 to 30 clients, because you never know when one of them, when one of their volume is going to drop, but one of someone else's volume is going to increase. Mm-hmm. And in terms of getting into different areas of drayage, just make sure you do your homework. I just read somewhere that someone hauled a helicopter and didn't pre-route the bridges and didn't pre-route the weight and didn't get the permits. And that was going to cost the company $30 million.
We just bid on a helicopter and the value of the helicopter was $12 million.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, if you're going to, don't make decisions on being desperate.
Yes.
Make sure that you really know your markets mm-hmm. and the opportunity that is brought to you that you could really do it.
Right.
Because in my case, we haul a lot of retail and a lot of hazmat and reefer containers. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't feel comfortable hauling heavy equipment like these ladies mm-hmm. do. I would have to really do my homework to just do one.
Yeah.
So I try to stay away from what I'm not an expert in. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not an expert, to bring someone in who is.
Who is, yeah. That's good. That's a good pivot there to threats, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to wrap this up. We want to leave at least 3 or 4 minutes for maybe two questions. Threats in the market. I think Bianca tore it up just in. Listen, these pop tires, mm-hmm. right? If you're going to do Dre, you need to understand that the maintenance on the chassis, if you do not own your own chassis and you're relying on the pool chassis, is on you. And those are expenses that come out of your pocket up front. Like our most horror story that happened maybe 45 days ago was a driver popped a tire, busted a seal, a hub, and I don't know everything about trucking, babe, I just pushed the buttons, okay? But he did a lot of damage on one tire, and because he was in a market where there was not maintenance techs who specialized in the repair of containerized tires, right, or chassis tires, it cost us $4,500.
Wow.
Those monies were due right then, paid up front, and the client that we have pays us back, provided it's not driver error, in 60 to 90 days. These are costs that you need to understand when you're talking about doing intermodal dredge. So the other threat to the industry is that a lot of customers are moving away from using pool chassis mm-hmm. because the bills have gotten outlandish. So they're moving to work with private companies like STG, XPO, who does chassis management for them at a lower cost, and they also keep the maintenance up on them. They're in a better position than the pool chassis, right? But you need to understand that, because customers also don't want to pay stop-off charges to go get those chassis because they're not in the pool of the rail, right? Mm-hmm. So those are some of the threats that's coming along in the dray market for me on my side. What about you guys?
I'll speak to what you said, but I want to add on to it from a safety perspective. People who come into the market, I see this all too many times. Somebody yesterday was speaking about how many registered carriers there are across the U.S. Mm-hmm. When you talk about equipment and maintenance costs and tires popping and all of that, that's one side of it. The expenses are a critical component of this Absolutely. Whole thing, right? The Yes. other critical component, which in my opinion is more important than the money or anything else, is the safety aspect.
Absolutely.
And so you get these pooled chassis that are shit, just being
Big
very
shit.
Frank, they are relying on you mm-hmm. to make sure that they're in good working order. You mm-hmm. get out there, something happens, pop a tire, something happens. Enforcement in Houston is more, I guess, crazy mm-hmm. than other markets because right. It's such a huge city. So that impacts your safety scores.
Yes.
So, and then customers are looking at safety scores
yes.
and then it's a trickle down effect. So major threats that I see in the Houston market are relying
safety.
On chassis pools and the expenses that are associated with that. And then the safety aspect and how, number one, our duty is to protect the public
right.
and to protect those that we're riding next to. And if we're not doing that, then we're in the wrong business. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is the customers are going to be checking our CSA scores and checking to see how you perform against other carriers. So that can be a huge threat to the
Absolutely.
To your business.
What about you, Bianca?
I think one of the threats coming into the California market, not only did I already speak about the laws that are being already going into place, like the electric trucks and the AB5 law that is now into effect, but I feel that the threats to California are cost.
Yes.
Diesel is now at $6.26 in California, yet we can't charge what we were charging even in 2019 before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Just recently, I was looking at old invoices, and I was charging about 20% more in 2019 when diesel was at $2.69. Mm-hmm. And now I'm charging 20% less. Mm-hmm. And diesel at $6.26. So on my side of things on the West Coast, I think what the biggest threat is the cost of operation mm-hmm. in that market.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you're trying to get into drayage on the West Coast, you have to be prepared for the expenses that come with it. I'm not saying it's not possible. Mm-hmm. Don't let me stand in your way of your passion and your dream. But what I am saying is be smart about every move that you make before you make it.
Absolutely.
And that's the only way that you're going to continue to stay afloat.
Absolutely. And the final threat, and then we'll take some questions. I think we got time for maybe one or two questions, is per diem. Per diem is the cost that is assessed by the steamship lines that customer requires you as a carrier, you pulling the box out of the port or rail to manage until they pay you back. That can get way out of hand, right? I don't know what happened back in March or April, but it's like all the customers had a conversation with the steamship lines and we just got hit heavy, right? So that's probably one of the other threats to the market is for carriers is making sure that you manage your per diem. That is it. That is all the questions that I have for the panel here. Ramel, I want to see if we can take a few questions.
Oh, hello. There you go. Questions from the audience. I'm coming to you, sir. Excuse me. Thank you. State your name and your question, please.
My name is Ronaldo, and my question is, as someone like, I would say, green, like very fresh, is it possible for them to work the ports, or you kind of have to start somewhere else?
What was the question?
With him having a brand new company, is it possible to work with the ports?
Yes.
So Dre is one of those things where your time in business does not matter because the customers vary and it's so wide, right? Dre is a different service base. When you have customers that are wanting you to, you know, wait for your tenure, it's because of your safety scores. They want to make sure you've been in business and they have a duty to make sure that their board and their stockholders feel confident with who they're doing business with. With Dre, you're dealing with international clients. Their requirements is a little bit different. So you kind of, your time of service doesn't matter.
Yeah, the TWIC, like getting your necessary credentials to get in, the TWIC card, all of those things. If you're gonna be hauling HAZ out of the port, making sure you have your HAZ certification, your HAZ endorsement, things like that, it shouldn't prevent you from being able to do work out of the port.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I just wanna add to that anybody can do drayage because logistics is it's a solution platform. That's what we do. We solve problems for our clients. So if you want to start a drayage company and you have a truck already, you're halfway there. Everything else is paperwork inside the ports. And then your biggest challenge is going to have to be finding a client.
That's right.
That can provide you, if you have one truck, that they can give you some type of little work, because just like also in the OTR dry van business, at least on the West Coast, I don't know how Houston operates, but there are different levels of bidding that you can do depending on the amount of trucks you have.
That's right.
So when you start off with one truck, you usually end up on the spot market rate, where the overflow of big contracts fall onto that. And then someone might reach out, you know, saying, hey, I have, 10 containers that need to be pulled in the next 2 weeks going to, you know, Target or whatever. And but someone else is already doing that account. They just couldn't fulfill that volume.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. State your name and your question, please.
Hi there. My name is Gael. I run a drayage trucking company out of the Port of Norfolk in Virginia. What tools and resources do you guys use to find the different trends happening in the market, as well as how to pivot into different lanes or different industries like retail or like furniture, automotive, and finding those customers to keep your trucks moving and not sitting?
So for me, I use the Georgia Department of Economic Development, as well as the Georgia Port Authorities by the numbers, to trend what's going on with the volumes coming into my specific port. Economic development helps me understand which industries are coming into my area for particular business, because when I see new industries coming, new DCs, new manufacturing facilities coming, I know that there's more dray going to also be coming in that Savannah Charleston market. So the economic development is one resource I use, the Georgia Port Authority by the numbers, and then also the Journal of Commerce, which also manages commodities that's moving in and out of the United States.
I'll add to that two things, and it's really one thing, but it's relationships. And having good relationships with your customers and understanding where they're trending, because if oil and gas falls off, you've seen solar panels now tick up, and that's the same customer. So customer relationship, and then the other thing is driver relationship. If you have good relationships with your drivers and understand what they're seeing when they're out there delivering, if they're seeing they're delivering a box and they break the seal and you see, okay, it's manufacturing equipment, but the next 10 containers is solar panels, that driver should have a good enough relationship with you to come back and give you that information. It's all about relationships.
All right. So we've hit our time. Please catch myself, Jessica, and Bianca outside for any other questions you have.
All right. Give it up. Give it up. Y'all got some more than that. Give it up, man. Come on. Let's go. Let's keep the energy high.
If you twisted, confused, or stuck about trucks, don't be dumb. This is the place to come. Truck and Hustle. Let's go.